Each Passover season for the past 21 years, the Jewish residents of our region's group homes for developmentally disabled adults have been coming to our synagogue for a model Seder or Passover meal prior to the holiday. Our volunteers spend a long Sunday afternoon cooking, setting up our social hall, and serving between 25 and 30 people and their overworked, underpaid aides. Their disabilities are a spectrum of severity, a variety of developmental delays, neuromotor and communication disorders. From what their helpers tell me, our Seder is one of the highlights of their year. We welcome everyone as they come through the door. We play music and sing. We tell the story of the ancient Israelites' liberation from Egypt. We eat a nice meal together, and we have fun. We're a noisy bunch performing a boisterous narrative about redemption for people whose voices, literally and symbolically, are imprisoned or extinguished. After this year's Seder, I admitted to myself that I don't really understand our guests. Over the years, I've learned a bit about them. Some of them have families who look after them, yet some of them were abandoned by loved ones or forgotten in the family shuffles caused by aging, physical distance, and death years ago. However, in my rush to run a good program, I have failed to listen fully to their voices. That is, to learn their individual stories and get past shallow assumptions about who they truly are. So recently, I began to think about Bill, a middle-aged man who came to our Seder for many years. I remember nothing about him except his first name and that he was physically and cognitively challenged. Bill also had a huge smile and this trademark way of extending his hand to greet someone new. I don't recall Bill ever saying a word, yet when we sang or played music, he would jump out of his seat, extend his right arm while bringing his left arm to his chest, and spin like a spinning top around the room. Perhaps Bill's behavior was frightening or alienating to some, but I now understand that it was also his voice, his way of expressing his fierce joy at hearing music, being alive, and celebrating the holiday of freedom without worrying about others' oppressive ideas about social nicety and conformity. On Passover, we relive the flight from slavery to freedom symbolized in Judaism as finding one's voice as a free person. Our guests from the group homes are trapped in bodies that do not work well. So in one sense, they are slaves whose voices are silenced literally and spiritually. They don't have the capacities that we do to communicate with the world in a fully functional way. They repeat the same phrases obsessively, at times forgetting what they said, at other times desperate to say more. Many of them only moan, whoop, or grunt, and some of them say nothing. Yet, in an entirely different sense, all of their sounds and movements are, like Bill's, profound shouts of joy, cries of pain, and expressions of their sacred individuality as human beings demanding to be recognized. They force all of us to remember not to relegate them to some congregation of the marginal to which we pay attention no more than once a year. They are part of our congregation, our family, our people, our stories, our human race. They demand a place at the Seder table because they are us and we are them. We help each other to find the individual and collective voices that make all of us free. With words, whistles, whoops, and whirls, we call out the ancient greeting recited at the beginning of the Seder. Let all who are hungry come and eat. Let all who are in need come and celebrate Passover.